Here in Daniel chapter 3, we read about those amazing things. But I want you to know that there's still people like Nebuchadnezzar out there in our world today. Nebuchadnezzar heard about the image of gold in Daniel chapter 2. It was about his the dream that he had. And if you go through Daniel chapter 2, by the way, I like the book of Daniel because there's a sequence there that is good for us to understand. If you go to Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, I guess if there's a verse in the Bible that is my life verse, that would be it. Daniel chapter 8, and it says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." That phrase there, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. I want to tell you something. Our world would do well if we got a hold of the thought right there in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. I personally believe that if Daniel does not make that resolve right there, and he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself, I believe that you don't read the rest of Daniel. There's nothing to read. The reason God used Daniel, the reason God used Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, which we know as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is because they purposed in their heart that they would not defile themselves. I want you to think about all the pressures that they faced. They were captured as teenagers, probably, maybe even younger than teens. They saw their families killed. They saw their city destroyed. They were taken captive to Babylon. They were taught a new language. They were trained to worship a new god. They were given new names. They couldn't even go by the names that their parents had given them. They're giving in Babylon, they were given names that honored their false god and Molech. And what we understand here is the fact that these guys, out of all of them, all the Jews that were taken, these are the only four that we read about that stood right. You ever felt like you're the Lone Ranger standing for right? Whether it's in a family, whether it's in a workplace, whether it's in a school, or whether it's in a neighborhood. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. These guys know what you feel like. But they're good examples for us because they purposed in their heart, no matter what happens, I'm not going to give in. No matter what they threaten me with, I'm not going to quit on God. I'm not going to defile myself. I used to always, when I go into the juvenile facilities, I would go in there and I would lay out this, I would tell the kids about the blessing and the curse. Deuteronomy 11, you hear me talk about it a lot. Deuteronomy 11 talks about, "I set before thee a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you will obey the commandments of the Lord your God, and a curse if you will not obey." And I talk about the table over here that's got the gross stuff on it, maggot-infested roadkill and dirty baby diapers and all that kind of stuff. And then on the other side, you see the blessing table, and you see some of all the finest foods you'd ever had. And kind of like going to a smorgasbord of the fine of a fine restaurant. And you come in and you're hungry. And God's giving out tickets. You get one ticket or another ticket to the table. And the blessing or the curse has to do with whether or not you've obeyed the Bible. God gives us a ticket for the blessing table when we follow what the Bible says. God wants to bless His creation. He wants to bless us. But we get one ticket or another depending on whether we follow the book or don't. Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego understood that. They knew that no matter what happened in their life, it was going to go better for them to follow the Word of God. I commend the training whoever did the training, the parents or the priests or whoever did the training of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they trained them well. In Daniel chapter 1, if you don't have Daniel and his resolve about not defiling himself, then in Daniel chapter 2, you read about the fact that their life is on the line and they're gonna die if they don't get a hold of God, because they've got to not only find out what the king's dream was, but then they've got to interpret it. And the Bible says they had a prayer meeting that night, just the four of them. And God told them what the dream, not only what the dream was, but the interpretation. If they don't purpose in their heart not to defile themselves in Daniel chapter 1, they die in Daniel chapter 2. You don't read about the fiery furnace in chapter 3. You don't read about the handwriting on the wall in chapter 5. You don't read about Daniel in the lion's den in chapter 6. We don't get those last six books of prophecy in the book of Daniel. If they don't determine in their heart that they're not going to defile themselves. Well, here in Daniel chapter 3, we read about Nebuchadnezzar, and he's built up this 90-foot image of gold, and he's forcing everyone to bow. Let's stand in honor of the Word of God, and we'll read a few verses here, starting with verse 1 in Daniel chapter 3. It says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together under the dedication of the image of that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image of the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down at the and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at the time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you. Lord, our desire is for us to hear from you. Lord, we know that this book is not just true, but it's perfect. It teaches us about who you are. It teaches us about your love. It teaches us about that place that you want us to go in heaven. But Lord, it also teaches us about a place that was created for the devil and his angels. A place that we don't want to go. And a place we don't have to go. Lord, I pray for you to meet with us tonight. Lord, let the name of Jesus receive glory and honor and praise from our hearts and our lips. And Lord, if there's anyone here that's not saved, Lord, let tonight be the night that their name's in the book of life. For it's in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I think about this particular time and how it would be to be in the crowd. We don't know it at where Daniel is at this particular point, but we know that one of the things that Nebuchadnezzar used as a signal was music. Now, I'm going to tell you, a lot of people don't like it. There's a reason that we sing the music that we sing here at church, because I want it to be Christ-honoring music. You will always find things that the devil uses that go together. There are certain kinds of music that you find with the drug crowd and immorality crowd. You'll find the fact that there's high suicide rate. You'll find that there's also alcohol going on. You'll find all kinds of things. If you find one, not a lot of times you'll find several others. It's not an accident that there are certain kinds of music that Satan worshipers listen to. It goes all the way back here. It goes all the way back to the beginning of time. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time there, but it's interesting that it says all kinds of music. And it says here that they were forced to fall down. I like what Thomas Jefferson said. He says, "It is error alone which needs the support of government. Truth can stand by itself." You know that any government that pushes a religion, you can just about count on it being a wrong religion. Our government in the United States has never forced people to become Christians. You can't force someone to become a Christian anyway. Or you can put a sword to somebody's throat and say, "You better confess Allah to be the true God and Muhammad to be his prophet, or I'll cut your head off." Hey, saying the words doesn't mean that it doesn't say that you mean it. It doesn't make you a Muslim. In their eyes, it does. But the bottom line is, you can't change the heart to go soul winning with a shotgun. Can you imagine? I mean, that's about the same concept. The truth, that's why it's so many countries do not want Christianity in there, because you cannot oppose Christianity. You can oppose it, but it has its own understanding. You cannot earn salvation. You cannot earn a trip to heaven. Your good works will never get you there. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel all knew that. They knew that their good works weren't going to get them to heaven, but they knew that their good works showed how much they loved their God. A lot of people say, "Well, you sure do go to church a lot." Hey, I love my God. I'm not earning heaven. He's already paid my ticket. I'm going to heaven because he bought my wretched soul. One day I called on Jesus. I knew I was a sinner. I knew my good works weren't going to get me there. And one day I bowed beside my bedside and cried my way into the kingdom, begging Jesus to forgive me and save me. Had nothing to do with my good works. But since that day, I've been different. Since that day, my desires have been different. Since that day, people call me crazy. Call me hard-headed. Hey, now, I've always been hard-headed. There's somebody here that can vouch for that. She's known me since I was 5. I've always been hard-headed, but let me tell you something. I haven't always been hard-headed for the right reasons. When I'm hard-headed about the book, I'm hard-headed for the right reasons. When I'm hard-headed about trying to get people saved, I'm hard-headed for the right reason. If I'm hard-headed about living right and setting a good example for my family, for my church, for my neighbors, for my co-workers, for those around me, hey, I'm hard-headed for the right reason. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were hard-headed. Not trying to be rebellious. There are a lot of people that say, hey, you're a rebel. A rebel simply means that you're rebelling against something. I'm not going to get into the Civil War. I'm not going to get into that. I'm going to tell you, I'll go ahead and tell you, both sides were wrong, okay? The North was wrong because the South had the right to secede. It was written in the state constitutions. They told them that they could secede when they entered the Union. And they had a right to secede. The South was wrong for allowing slavery to become an issue. Okay? Both sides wrong. I was born in Maryland. I grew up in Florida since I was two. I know both sides. I'm going to tell you like it is. I was able to teach U.S. history from both perspectives, and they were both wrong. I don't like the Civil War. I've studied the Civil War. It's interesting to me, the war strategies. But the one thing that caused it to last for so long was men's pride. Nobody would negotiate. They didn't have people at the table trying to negotiate. And so the war went on, spilling more and more and more blood. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were hard-headed. But they were hard-headed about the right thing. Somebody taught them right. Look at let's read verses 13 through 15. It says, then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do ye not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? I want you to take note of that phrase, and that's what I've entitled this message. Who is that God? At this particular juncture, Nebuchadnezzar is actually issuing a challenge. He knew that the God of Israel was who these guys were raised under, raised to worship. And that what he's trying to do is force them to worship this false God. They knew the Ten Commandments. They knew that it was wrong to bow down to false idols. It's wrong to worship anybody other than the Lord thy God. And they refused to bow down. And he's saying, who is that God that's going to deliver you out of my hands? Well, Nebuchadnezzar's about to find out. And I like their answer. It says, Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. That means that they're not concerned about what they say to him. They're going to tell it like it is. They're not going to water it down. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. They're saying, my God's able to deliver us out of the fiery furnace, but either way, he's going to deliver us out of your hand. If we die, guess what? We're delivered out of your hand. If we don't die, you're going to sit up and take notice that our God can do something your God can't. Either way, he's going to deliver us. Verse 18, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They said, you kill us, or you don't kill us. You put us in the fiery furnace, or you don't. We're still not going to worship that dumb idol. You know, that's what's going on in America today. We're trying to appease a group that worships an idol called Allah. Allah is an idol. It's the moon god. It's been gone on since for thousands of years. They found idols with, or little idols with the crescent moon on the chest. Years and thousands of years old. They're trying to accept, everybody's trying to say, well, Allah and Jehovah are the same God. No, they're not. Muslims will tell you that they're not the same God because their God, they said their God never had a son. Allah had three daughters, what they say. But Allah had no son. You look at the characteristics of Allah versus Jehovah. Allah forces people to kill in His name. Allah forces people to bow. The term Islam completely, it simply means to submit. You cannot appease a group that's bent on your submission. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, hey, they're saying, hey, our God can do this. Now, you know the story. You know that that Nebuchadnezzar gets so mad that he has the furnace heated up 7 times hotter. And he throws has the guards throw the men in. And it's so hot that throwing the men in burns the guards up. And yet, to me, it's amazing that Nebuchadnezzar sees something that blows his mind. Look at what it says in verse 24. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Now, there are a lot of people that say Nebuchadnezzar could never recognize Jesus. Well, I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Spirit can do all kinds of things to inform you of who you're talking to. Do you realize that when Jesus and Peter, James, and John were on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus did not introduce Moses and Elijah to Peter, James, and John? But they knew who it was. Nebuchadnezzar knew that this was no ordinary God. This was the Son of God. This was none other than the Lord Jesus right here in the fire. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're planning on surviving the fire that's in our future, it's going to have to be because of the same person. The Lord Jesus is the only hope for us to escape the fire that's in our future. That lake of fire is a real place. That lake of fire, it wasn't even created for people, but it's sure enough going to burn up those that are not saved, just like it did these guards. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, guess what? They weren't in a hurry. They were in that fire. I like this part. Look what it says. Verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. You know what's going on? They're not in a big hurry to get out of the fire. They're having a good time fellowshipping with Jesus. Nebuchadnezzar's got to call on them and say, hey, come on out of there. And I kind of feel like they kind of took their sweet time getting out. And they came out. Their hands were bound. Their feet were bound when they were thrown in, the ropes were burnt off of them. They weren't scorched. Bible says not even a hair was singed. They didn't even smell like smoke. I'm going to tell you something. My Bible tells me our God is a consuming fire. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29. It depends on who your God is. Nebuchadnezzar found out who is that God. And it's up to us. We better make sure we know who that God is too. Because he's going to be the one, he's the only one that can protect us from the fire. The lake of fire. Bible says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And that lake of fire was not created for people. It was created for the devil and his angels. But the truth is, it's a real place. I've read accounts of people as they pass away that their feet are burning as they're dying. They're screaming in pain, already feeling the flames. It's an awful thing to die without Jesus. I like these guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It gives me a little more boldness to read about people like that. You know, the government wants me to do this or wants me to do that. You can't preach that or you can't preach this. Guess what? My God's going to protect me. And guess what? I've got heaven to look forward to. What was the song said? Under his wings. And it says, who from his love can sever? Romans chapter 8 talks about nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not even flames. Not even an evil king. If you read a little farther into the next chapter, you'll see that Nebuchadnezzar actually gets saved. And I believe this event led to him getting saved, because all of a sudden he said, ye servants of the Most High God. He realized that the God that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego worshipped was higher than his God. The most important thing is for us is to make sure that we tell those loved ones that there really is a place. A fiery place. Not because God's an evil God. If God's an evil God, then he would not send Jesus to the cross and give us a way out. Jesus died on the cross to keep us from going to that awful place. We're all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us are good enough to go to heaven on our own. But even though we're sinners, God's made a way for us to go. I can't help but think, what it'd be like to sit down in heaven with Nebuchadnezzar and ask him what it was like to see that vision of that fiery furnace with the four men walking around. Talk to Jesus and say, Lord, I'm glad you were with me in the fire. When I went through the fires of this, fiery trials of this world, whether it be head-on collisions or pneumonia or asthma attack or whatever you go through in this life, Jesus goes with you if you belong to him. I hope he's your Lord. I hope he's your protection from that fire. Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us. Let the name of Jesus receive glory and honor and praise through the invitation. And Lord, if there's any here that needs to make a decision, Lord, let it be tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.